The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you had a wonderful weekend, and I hope you were in church yesterday. We had a great day at First Baptist Texarkana, and I think many churches hopefully had a special time of prayer concerning what's going on in our nation with the murder by assassination of Charlie Kirk. And so we addressed that yesterday. We had a special service on Wednesday night when the assassination took place Wednesday afternoon. I scrapped my sermon for Wednesday night, and we just went into talking about what is going on. And we had a big crowd, and a good crowd yesterday. And so we prayed, and that is the key. I really believe that that is the key. That's the key to revival. It's the key to everything. You can do more than pray after you pray, but you can't do more than pray before you pray. And we stood up. I shared from Ezekiel 22, as God says, I looked for a man among them who would stand in the gap for the land that I might not destroy it, and I found no one. And so I asked people, if you want to stand in the gap and you are emboldened by what happened to Charlie Kirk, and this has lit a fire in you. I've heard from different ones that said, there's just a fire in me now that wasn't there before to stand up for the truth. And so we stood and we lifted our hands to heaven and we prayed for God to bring revival. And I prayed the prayer from Acts chapter 4. You know, Acts 4 has a great prayer when the disciples were threatened by the Sanhedrin. Now, you remember, these are the same guys that condemned Jesus to death. And they threatened him to speak no more in his name. And now, those aren't empty threats, because those guys could deliver you over to Pilate, and as they did with Jesus, and you could end up dead. And so they said, and now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants, your doulosses, your slaves may speak your word with all confidence, with all boldness. That's what that word confidence is also translated, boldness. While you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And so that's a prayer that God longs to answer. God, help me to be bold for Jesus Christ. Help me to make a difference for Jesus Christ. Now, I saw a post by James Wood, the actor, and he was talking about what we've been hearing from the left for the last 10 years. You know, they absolutely hate Donald Trump. That's why you have the diagnosis Trump derangement syndrome. I mean, they just hate Trump so much they just can't see straight. And, you know, for 10 years, we've been hearing that Trump is Hitler and his followers are Nazis and fascists and threat to democracy. And Matt Walsh pointed out, said, this isn't coming from the fringe left. The people celebrating the death, murder by assassination of Charlie Kirk, they're not just this fringe wacko left, although the fringe left is celebrating that. But it's people that I saw a medical doctor, a neurologist that was in Miami that was celebrating that, lost her job as a result of that. And people are getting called out. Hey, you celebrate murder and you're going to be a healthcare provider, you're going to be a kindergarten teacher or a law enforcement officer or what have you, all these different walks of life. Well, it's definitely your First Amendment right to celebrate that, but it's also the right of your employer to say, well, I don't want you working for me anymore. Well, this was what James Woods posted concerning the fact that it is not the fringe that has been calling for violence. It is the leaders, it has been the leaders of the party on the left, and they have been ratcheting up their rhetoric for the last 10 years. Here's a snippet of what they've been saying.
No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core.
And him and shut down the city! We are at war!
We're in a war right now.
We are at war.
So you have to be willing to do whatever is necessary in order to save the country.
And that's why the gloves are off.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
And yes, there are many threats to democracy. We see it with these extreme candidates.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country.
Pelosi.
Maybe there will be.
You can only push people so far. And then they start
Elizabeth
to take matters into their own hands.
What the American public want is for us to bring actual weapons to this bar fight. This is an actual fight.
You know, this is literally call to arms.
The MAGA movement is a threat.
Well, Michelle Wood says that, you know, when they go low, we go high.
No. With all due respect, if they go low, we don't go high.
When they go low, we kick them.
We take them to the mud and choke them out.
And make sure that they stay down. And you know what? Kick them when they're down, because they deserve it.
Get up in the face of some Congress people.
We are going to be in your face. We are going to be on your...
We have to fight this in the streets.
We're going to fight it in the streets.
It's time to step out of your comfort zone and step out into the streets.
To our Republican colleagues, if you do not see the light, we will bring the fire.
Well, that's enough of that. But those were leaders of the Democrat Party calling for violence. And they say, oh, no, we're not calling for violence. Well, yeah, if they go low, we kick them. We're going to hold them down. We're going to choke them out. Well, you say that stuff loud enough and long enough to an unhinged group of constituents that you have in your party, because there are so many of those, all the LGBTQIA plus folks, all the transgender insanity folks, they're not Republicans. You might have one or two, but very, very few. They're not going to be on the side of conservatism. They're going to be on the side of extreme liberalism. And as has been pointed out, people get mad about it, but these school shootings and these terrible, horrible atrocities that we've seen in the last few years, so many of them done by people that are infected and diseased in the mind with the woke mind virus and transgender insanity. And so there is a war taking place. Now, how do Christians respond? Now, this is important to remember, because the Bible tells us what to do here. And I've entitled this this program today, The Warfare is Prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 3, the Bible says, through the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." We don't kick people. We don't do what the other side does. The other side is in the flesh. "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete." So we have weapons, but they're not of the flesh. They're divinely powerful, and they deal with lies. We're destroying speculations, the lies, the lofty things raised up against the knowledge of God. This is a truth war. And as our founder, Don Wildman, said, this is a culture war. And that's why the movie about his life, Culture Warrior. As Tim Wildman and I talked on Friday, you could say that Don was a precursor in many ways to Charlie Kirk. And he was fighting the culture. He wasn't fighting it on college campuses per se, but he was fighting it in the public square and saying, hey, we can't lose the battle for the hearts and minds of people. And we need to tell them the truth. The truth is critical, fighting for the truth. You know, John MacArthur was castigated by the people that hated him because he stood for truth. He did the Strange Fire Conference, and he's trying to uncover the truth about all these things that we see that are, really way out there under the banner of Christendom. And he's saying, hey, is this not strange fire? He got that from Leviticus chapter 10, where the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, they were part of the high priesthood. They burned strange fire. They didn't take the fire from the altar, but they took strange fire and they burned that before the Lord, and God killed them for it on the spot. And so we can try and bring strange fire into the worship of the Lord. And if we do that, there are severe consequences to pay for that, because God is going to protect the holiness and the integrity of his ministry. We started a series yesterday, brand new series. I'm going to do an 8-part series on the life of Samuel. And one of the things that you run into early on in 1 Samuel is the priest, high priest Eli, has two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they're worthless men. They're sons of Belial. They didn't know the Lord, and they were desecrating the ministry. They were taking things, sacrifices that belonged to God, and taking them for themselves. They were sleeping with the women at the doorway of the tent of meeting and of the temple. And God let that go on. He wanted Eli to correct his sons, but he never did. And then finally God said, that's it. And he had enough. And Hophni, Phinehas, and Eli all died on the same day. We need to make sure that we understand that the holy things of God, you get involved in messing with the holiness of God, and you're going to experience his judgment. And it's typically very rapid response. You know, when Uzzah tried to steady the ark in 1 Samuel chapter 6, he reached out his hand because he thought the Ark of the Covenant was going to fall on the dirt, and he wasn't supposed to touch the Ark, but he did. And when he did, boom, he died just like that. When the men of Beth Shemesh, when they looked into the Ark, what happened to them? They died. You're not supposed to do that. You know, we treat God with ultimate and the highest reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Can we get close to God? Yes. In the Old Testament, though, there was always a distance. And so the Old Testament law came from Mount Sinai. When God gave the law, he told Moses, don't let the people break through and touch the mountain. If they touch it, they will die, because there's a separation between holy God and sinful man. And in the temple, what did you have? You had the veil that covered and separated the holy place that only the priest could enter from the Holy of Holies, where the Shekinah glory of God was. And the high priest was the only one who could go back there, and he went back there once a year with bloodshed, with fear and trepidation, because he's in the presence of God, and he doesn't want to die in the presence of God. And the good news is, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. We have access to the throne room of God. We can get close to God, but we always remember that God is holy, holy, holy. God is not like us. God's not, our pal, so to speak, that, we're equals here. We're not equals. And so we always treat God with tremendous reverence, respect, and awe. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time, right here on American Family Radio. We're talking today about prayer. The warfare is prayer. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking about the warfare is prayer. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, strongholds that get into people's minds. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What do we have as believers in this war that we're in this culture war, in the war that we're in between good and evil, between right and wrong that is raging in America? Well, we have prayer, and we have the Word of God. Sanctify them in the truth, Jesus said. Your Word is truth. He said that in his great high priestly prayer. Now, Matt Walsh has been very, very active speaking about what happened last Wednesday with the death of his friend, Charlie Kirk. And some people have tried to say, hey, Matt, you need to settle down. But he's not settling down. I appreciate Matt Walsh. He's a warrior for the truth, just as Charlie Kirk was a warrior for the truth. Here's what Matt Walsh had to say, and is very insightful concerning Charlie's death.
When I see these rodents gloating now over the death of my friend, I'm, of course, disgusted by it. Yet also, I truly see it as a powerful tribute to Charlie's life and work. Charlie had many friends who loved him dearly, many fans who adored and admired him. That's without a doubt the greatest testament to the sort of man he was, no question about it. But as a true culture warrior, it must be said that the evil gloating of his enemies are accolades in their own right. May we all be so successful and productive that our enemies celebrate when we die. May we all be so devastating to the leftist project that they long for our demise. May we all fight so hard and so effectively that they have no choice but to try to kill us. May our lives be a problem for these people and our deaths a relief. Let them dance on my grave as they dance on Charlie's. Then I will know that I did my duty. Our opponents should be happy when we leave the ring. If they aren't, then we didn't punch hard enough. Charlie punched harder than anyone. He did it with a smile. He did it through speech and debate. He did it non-violently. But he was a devastating fighter all the same. And his opponents are overjoyed because they think they've gotten rid of him. But they're wrong. They have gravely misjudged the situation. The only thing more powerful than a living fighter is a martyred one. In life, Charlie motivated and rallied us to put on the armor of God and fight for what we believe in. In death, he motivates and rallies us all the more. I want to be very clear that we will not back down after this. We will not shrink away or go into hiding. We will not fall silent. We will not walk in fear. We will stand taller and prouder than we ever have and be louder and bolder than we've ever been and fight harder than we've ever fought.
I say amen to that. That was Matt Walsh. And so, you know, the people that have been celebrating the murder of Charlie Kirk, murder by assassination, I mean, just just sickening. Tiger Woods had this quote. I just saw it this morning. He said this, "I've never witnessed such darkness. Cheering a death shatters every boundary of decency, and I refuse to stand quiet while humanity is mocked." Now, here's my issue, and I appreciate that from Tiger Woods. And I have respect for Tiger Woods. You know, I've said this repeatedly. Tiger Woods faced the music when his marriage blew up because of his adultery. He got on TV before the world, and he confessed what he did. And, you know, not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for him to find life and forgiveness and salvation in Jesus. But he had more courage to do that than so many pastors who fall into terrible, horrible sin, and then you just don't ever hear from them again. And they just kind of, you know, I think about Bill Hybels, you know. I mean, he was exposed as a guy who was not faithful to his wife and did some terrible things. Well, you never hear from him again. He's the leadership guru, supposedly. He doesn't say anything. Tiger faced the music. So I have respect for people that do that. But as he was saying, hey, you know, these people that are celebrating, what is wrong with you to celebrate that? Well, now, I believe that mainstream media has a responsibility. They have to start looking in the mirror, because as we played in the first segment, the clip from James Woods, all these people calling for 10 years, fascist, Nazi, Hitler, a threat to democracy. We got to take these people out, and we got to come to the fight. And if they bring you don't bring a knife to a gunfight, as Obama said. You know, if they bring a knife, we bring a gun. And just all this kind of rhetoric, get in their face, tell them they're not welcome here or anywhere, as Maxine Waters said. Well, you do that for a long enough time period, and you have people, impressionable people who are not very sane to begin with because they've embraced the transgender insanity. They're fighting God in their own hearts, and their heart rages against the Lord, and there's such anger. You go on social media, go on X, the X platform, and see how people get so angry. I was misgendered. You know, it's this guy with a beard and he's got a wig on and a dress and high heels. I was misgendered and I'm so angry. If anybody misgenders me again, I mean, I'm going to break their face. That kind of attitude. Well, what is going on there? You're fighting God at the core of who you are, of how he made you. And you're telling the creator, how dare you tell me who I am? I'm going to tell you, God, who I am. And if you don't like it, tough. Well, you're talking to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. These people that think they can stand up to God, I would invite you to get in front of a speeding Amtrak train at 100 miles an hour and stand on the track and see how you do. Go up against that, because an Amtrak train is like going up against a Nerf ball compared to God. And, you know, it blows me away. And eventually people are going to come out of the ether. You know, we read in Revelation chapter 6, when God has enough and the day of the Lord comes. You know, God is patient, but the day of the Lord will come. And he starts breaking the seals, and the devastating plagues start coming upon the earth. And it says, then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? No one can stand. And our God is a consuming fire. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We need to have a healthy fear of God. As believers, we need to have a healthy fear of God. Can we get close to God? Yes. I always liken it to electricity. You don't need to be afraid of electricity. There's electricity in the room I'm in right now, and it's all around me. I'm not afraid of it. But here's what I don't do. I don't stick paper clips in the electrical outlets. I don't grab on to live electricity. I have a respect for that, and a healthy respect, because I know that that can fry you. And so we need to remember that about God. Yes, you can get close to God. Yes, we have a Father who loves us. But if you disrespect Him and you start treating Him like He's an old shoe and you do things that dishonor Him, there's a price to pay for that. Because you're not dishonoring your pal, your chum. You're dishonoring the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, God is, He is King, He is Father, and He is Friend. He's all three of those. And it's good to see God in those ways, because sometimes, you know, when you're really down and out, you've blown it, you need to talk to your friend. And He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You know, there's certain things maybe that we struggle with, that we'd say, I'd have a hard time talking to the King about that. I'd have a hard time talking to my Father about this failure in my life. But I can talk to the Wonderful Counselor. I can talk to the friend, my friend who sticks closer than a brother. And then there are other times I need to talk to the King who can make a difference in this situation. You know, a friend oftentimes, he provides the comfort and the consolation, but he can't necessarily make a difference. The King can make a difference. Your Father can make a difference. And so God is all three of those. He's our King, He's our Father, He's our friend. And so the need to relate to God in the proper way, to love Him and honor Him and revere Him, that is critical. Well, people today, they think they can shake their fist in the face of God and there are not going to be consequences. There are going to be consequences. And listen, we love people as Christians. The people are our mission field. My preaching professor, Wayne McDill, whom I love and owe so much to his training me in preaching class, he said, ministry is all about people. If there were no people, there would be no need for ministry. So he said, guys, you're going to pastor churches. Remember, yes, you want to study. Yes, you want to do a good job handling accurately the word of truth. But ultimately, it comes down to praying for people, reaching people with the word of God, sharing the truth with people, speaking the truth in love. And the sad reality is, and I've had people tell me this, you know, sometimes big name preachers, I had one guy tell me, I would never forget it. I'm not going to say the guy's name, that he was talking about, but he said, that guy doesn't like people. He likes preaching, but he doesn't want to be around people. And so he's very reclusive. Well, we need to, you know, we don't just preach to the sheep. We don't just lead the sheep. We need to love on the sheep. Because we're under shepherds, and the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, and the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, he's called us to be his representative on the earth and to love the people and care for the sheep. And so we need to do that. Well, we fight on our knees. That's the weapons. Those are the weapons of our warfare, prayer and the word of God. As it says in Acts chapter 6, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now, my oldest daughter, Jill, pointed something out to me just this morning. She sent me a text, and she was talking about, obviously, what's everybody's talking about, the Charlie Kirk situation and his assassination. And she said, you know, when they martyred Stephen, Stephen's the first martyr in the New Testament. When Stephen was martyred by the Sanhedrin, killed, murdered, stoned to death because they could not stand what he was preaching, it says that they laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul, Saul of Tarsus. And in Acts 8:1, Saul was in hearty agreement with putting Stephen to death. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Well, Saul was part of that, but then chapter later, Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus gets saved. He has an encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you?" He said, "I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting." "Who are you, Lord?" "Well, here is the Lord. He is Jesus whom you are persecuting." And then Saul of Tarsus responded and said, "What do you have me do?" Fell to the ground. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting." And when Paul shares his testimony later in the book of Acts, he said, "Lord," his prayer of surrender, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And then Saul of Tarsus becomes Paul, the greatest apostle who ever lived. Now, here's the thing. When Paul talks about himself in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, he said that he was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. And he said, you know, "Yet I found mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief." It stuck with him that Paul was the most unlikely of candidates for salvation. He's a trophy of God's grace. His testimony basically is this: if God can save me, he can save anybody. Because my background, I tried to destroy Christianity. I was an enemy of the cross. And if God can save Saul of Tarsus, he can save anyone. And so we need to pray for the people, even the people that are gloating over Charlie Kirk's death. We need to pray for them that God would open their eyes to the truth. And we need to stand up with the truth of the Word of God and speak the truth in love. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And we are up against a break. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. It's always a joy to hear from our listeners. So give me a call, 888-589-8840, and let's talk. Hey, the warfare is prayer. And God has given us all we need to make a difference.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of Preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a Preborn Network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, brief testimony, we'd love to hear from you. Let me just remind you that I will be in Shreveport, Louisiana tomorrow at Broadmoor Baptist Church. They're having a series of meetings, and I'll be preaching at 6 o'clock there at Broadmoor. Love to see you if you live in that area. And also, let me just say this. My friend Dr. Brad Jerkovich at First Baptist Bossier, he's having a special prayer vigil for Charlie Kirk tomorrow night, Tuesday night, there in Bossier at 6:30 at Freedom Fields, which is right there adjacent to the church. And so it's for anybody and everybody to come out and to pray, and that God would take something that is so terrible as the murder by assassination of Charlie Kirk and use it for good, and use it to to spark a revival that would come to our nation and it would spread throughout the world. You know, we need a great revival before the Lord returns. I think the coming of the Lord is near, and we want to see as many people as possible put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and be ready when the Lord comes. Now, Paul said, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." And we need to think like a soldier. We are in the Lord's army. As we sing that little song, "I'm in the Lord's army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom or the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army." And this is a war, and we're at war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're not at war with people. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's with the rulers, the powers, the world forces of this darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And we're destroying speculations and all these non-biblical, evil, demonic ideologies. We're destroying those with the truth. How do you fight lies? You fight lies with the truth. That's why we speak the truth in love. And we don't back down from that. You know, I had a conversation with somebody not too long ago, and they were castigating me and saying, "Well, you know, so-and-so, boy, they made me feel good. And, you know, they said it was fine for me not to believe in Jesus." And I was like, "Well, they didn't do you any favors, because if you die without Christ, you're going to die and spend eternity in hell." "Well, I don't believe that." I said, "Well, that's your business. You can reject that if you want. Doesn't make it false because you don't believe it. Truth is not what you think. It's not what you feel. It's not what you want it to be. Truth is what God says. He is the judge of all the earth. He sets it up. He sets up right and wrong based on who he is, based on his holiness. And he is going to judge us according to his word, according to righteousness. And so we tell people the truth, whether they want to hear it or not. That's their business. But it's incumbent upon us to be faithful. We are the watchman on the wall, as it says in the book of Ezekiel. And if we don't sound the alarm when the enemy is coming, the Lord says, "Well, when the enemy comes and attacks, that person's blood is on your hands because you did not warn them. But if you warn them and they blow it off, that's on them." 888-589-8840. We have Daniel on the line from Oklahoma. Daniel, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I live here in Oklahoma, and we had, I guess you could say, a little bit of a tribute to Charlie Kirk at our church. Pastor Paul Blair, the Liberty Edmond Church. And it was very fitting. It was very, very good. He played about a 30-minute video of Charlie giving a speech somewhere there in Florida, I believe just this past May, at some sort of a Florida conference there. And basically the subject of the speech was where the church is today, and it fit right in line with what we do at our church, and it was very good. He defined what a pastor is and what a church is, and it was very good fitting, and he tied that into Stephen, who was martyred, as we know in the Bible, for what he was saying. And I thought it was very powerful and very good.
Yeah, amen. Well, yeah, Charlie was, he was great at sounding the alarm and getting people to get fired up that, hey, what is the church? We're supposed to be salt and light. Christians are salt and light, and we can't be polluted with the things of this world. And if the salt loses its saltiness, its savor, it's good for nothing anymore. And as I shared just a couple of days ago, how does salt stays salt, but it loses its saltiness if you mix it with gypsum, if you get it polluted with the things of this world. I think that's the emphasis that Jesus was making. You have to come out from among them and be separate. And I think, Daniel, we need to start viewing ourselves as we're on this earth for the Lord's pleasure to be the Lord's witnesses. That's our number one job. Obviously, the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the number two commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And the best way that you can love God and love people is to tell them and warn them and share the good news of the gospel with them. But they need to believe the bad news before the good news makes sense. And the bad news is, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, and every person outside of Christ is in terrible, horrible trouble. But here's the good news. Jesus died for you so that you don't have to perish in his judgment. You can pass out of death into life as you turn from sin and turn to the Savior. Well, God bless you, Daniel. Thank you for calling in with that that testimony. I appreciate that. We have Shirley on the line from Tennessee. Shirley, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to say how sorry I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. I'm sorry that I never got to meet Charlie Kirk. I'm African-American, and I'm going to tell you, I feel that what he said was very powerful. I never knew that he even existed, and most of the African-Americans I know that I know never knew he existed. But the one, when I went back and I watched his videos at 2 o'clock in the morning, because he was so good at debating, and he was telling the truth to even other people, African-American. We do have a problem with daddies leaving the home, and the kids don't have anybody called dad, and they're wild out here. Not all of them, but we have that problem just like other races have it as well. We ain't exempt from it. So for him to say that when people come up and try to debate him on the issue, then that made them really look stupid. I'm using that word politely. And I want to tell you, one of the ladies from church wrote me and said she was glad he's gone and that he was a racist. That's why I went back to look and see, well, what did he say that she thought was racist? And it shows me. Now, not everything that glitters is gold, and not everyone that say they saved is saved. You can be sitting right by somebody with a wicked heart, and I told them, she better repent before she dies, because you die with this wicked heart of racism that you got and want to ascribe the truth to be a racist, then you're not making it to heaven. So this is some serious stuff. And I wish I would have met him. That's the only thing I wish. I'd have been out there with a sign saying, "You go, Charlie."
I love that. That's great, Shirley. Well, you bring up a great point. You know, not everybody that comes to your church believes the same thing that you do. And, you know, as Adrian Rogers once said, talking about false teachers and preachers, not everybody talking about heaven is going there. And the devil does have his minions who have wormed their way into the church to deceive people. And remember this too, and I think about this with these guys that are supposedly preachers and teachers that are just so smart and so above it all, and you know, intellectual and nuanced and this and that. You know, they're not upsetting the world. You know, it said about the Apostle Paul when he came to Thessalonica, these men who have upset the world have come here also. Well, if you're just so nuanced and you can kind of ride the fence, well, you're not upsetting the world. It's when you call people out, when you preach in the power of the Holy Spirit convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment. When you let people know, hey, you're on the highway to hell and you're in trouble, and you're a helpless, hopeless sinner, and you can't save yourself. But let me tell you the good news. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and if you'll repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Well, that's a message that makes people mad. That's a message that upsets the world. It's good news, but they don't like the bad news. They just want you to tell them that they're fine just the way they are. Well, that's being an unfaithful witness if you tell people they're fine just the way they are. That's being a hospice center and just making people comfortable until they die. And the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a hospice center. It's a hospital for sick, hurting people. And it tells people the truth, and it performs surgery, and it does things that hurt so that it can bring healing. And it hurts when we have to come face to face with our sin, but we desperately need to do that. So God bless you, Shirley. Thank you so much for calling. Well, we have Marco on the line from Texas. Marco, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff, pleasure
yes, sir.
Talking to you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Question on clarifying the armor of God.
Okay.
Where the armor of God is only for believers, I assume, because a non-believer would not put it on.
Right.
And on the translation, is the sword a sword or is it a double-edged dagger? And that seems to be the only offensive weapon of the armor. Please clarify if it's a dagger, if it's a sword, and how do we use that in our spiritual battle?
Yeah. Yeah, great question. So the armor of God is found in Ephesians chapter 6, and it is just for believers. And the sword is a dagger. Makaira is the Greek word. And so it's for hand-to-hand combat. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the word that's used there for word is rhema, which is kind of like it's not logos. Logos is the word of God. But rhema is a word from the word. It's a piece of a bread from the bread of life, so to speak. And it's a word from the word that God gives us. And we need to be so equipped with the word of God that when we're in this battle, in this close hand-to-hand battle, that we can know the word and we can use the word effectively when the devil is tempting us in the things of the world and of the flesh. And that's how we use it. And then the other offensive weapon, Marco, would be prayer. And so it says in Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And so we have prayer and the word of God. And those are the things that we use. Now, the armor, with the belt of truth, and we have the breastplate of righteousness, his righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. And then it gets into the sword of the Spirit and then prayer. So God bless you, brother. Hope that's helpful to you. Well, we have Kelly on the line from Arkansas. Kelly, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff, I believe we're at a point in time where people have lost natural affection and thinking about the rapture. What is your idea on what will happen after the rapture to people's like property and money, certainly our friends that are left behind, the government, and you know, what do you see coming? And I'll just let you.
Yeah, that's a great question, Kelly. Well, I think there's going to be a tremendous chaos when the rapture hits. People are going to have to figure out what is going on. I mean, there are going to be car crashes, plane crashes. I mean, all sorts of things taking place. And then all these people are gone. The Antichrist, he's going to come up with an explanation. And the explanation is going to be that God removed these people who were impediments to progress. And just like the rhetoric we hear from the left, you know, we need to take these people out, their threat to democracy, their, you know, Hitlers and Nazis and blah, 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 you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, I think that's going to be the explanation that, see, we were right. God took them out. I saw somebody that posted and said, you think Charlie Kirk is a Christian? You think he's doing the Lord's work? God took him out. And so they will see the rapture as God's judgment on these people, these backward Bible-believing people, because they weren't inclusive and that kind of thing. So, and as far as the wealth goes, it's all going to end up in the hands of the Antichrist. He's going to use it to exterminate and to set up his kingdom. So good question. Linda, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. We're out of time. But thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And I will be with you again tomorrow. Kenza Haddock is going to be my special guest as we're going to talk about from Islam to Christ. She has such a powerful testimony. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.